continue to praise the Lord in this place because he is worthy to be praised. We worship him here. We worship him. That means that you bow down before him. That means that you know who he is. Amen. And as you clap your hands, oh, you people, you clap your hands, as I like to say, not as the world claps, amen, but you clap your hands to change the atmosphere. You clap your hands to shift in this place, to say that he's worthy to be praised. What a mighty, what a glorious God we serve. It is truly good to be in this house of God. First, as we stand, we give honor to the Lord, our Savior. We thank God for the opportunity to stand one more time. We thank God and we recognize the angel of this house, the Reverend Armstrong and First Lady Melanie Armstrong, as she's given the exposition of our Women's Day, Women's Emphasis Season theme. To God be the glory. I felt the word to come forth. And truly, we truly understand, if you did not before, how this all comes together. And we thank God for her and to all who are in this women's ministry, to our Deaconess Bonnie Watson Coleman, who is the women's director, to those who work with her for this particular event. It seems that Sister Ann Ross and Patty Mitchell, and to all of the leaders who work on this committee, to our worship leader, Deaconess Virginia Staten, to God be the glory. And as I stand, I don't feel that I am any visitor to this household as we come. I've seen so many who work with you throughout the various activities in the state. And I say to God be the glory for each and every one of you as well. To also our Minister Tracy Ross, who's the Director of Marriage and Family, praise God. And to Minister Diane Holloway, who I see so often at so many things, I thank God for the opportunity to be here. But also, as I come and stand before you, there's one who made sure that every step of the way, everything was done in decency and order. And to Deaconess Patricia Hood, thank God for you. Praise God. So we truly thank God for the opportunity to be here. Once again, I come and I bring you greetings from the First Baptist Church of Teaneck in Teaneck, New Jersey. And I do, and I'm so honored to be here on this time with the Women's Emphasis Season, where you come and you recognize ushers. For truly, I always thank God for the ushers of First Baptist Church of Teaneck, because no matter what, they're always there. I recognize some of our representatives tonight who come as well as the ushers. To God be the glory. That's one ministry I always say, no matter what's happening, the ushers are there. So we thank God for the usher ministry. Whenever the doors of the church are open, ushers are there, making sure that everything is in order. I also thank God for my armor bearer ministry that helped to make sure that I got here, for security ministry that is with us, as well as our congregation and our young people who are here. I also bring you greetings on behalf of some of us who are unable to be here because we are in retreat. Our women's ministry is in retreat also, but we are blessed to be here on this day. For we came and we were able to share with Shiloh so many months ago, about a year ago or so, and we were truly blessed to be here and look forward to coming on this day. So we truly give God the glory. And as I was sitting here and participating in ministry, I was thinking about how also when, as I grew up, my mother taught me something about manners. I was telling Deaconess Coleman here that I had to mind my manners. See, when we grew up and we would go visit somebody's house, and even if you were hungry, and they had food on the table, and they asked you if you wanted something to eat, you would say, what? No, thank you. No, thank you. That's all right. And so as I was sitting here and as the worship was going on, I wanted to shout all across the pulpit here, but I said, I have to mind my manners. I have to mind my manners to make sure we don't show out up in this household. But we thank God for the worship, amen, that has already gone on in this place, to our music ministry and We also recognize, of course, the one who is your senior advisor, I understand, Sister Betty Lewis Young, but to all who honor is due, to God be the glory. And as we come, we want to be able to lift up a word that is found for you. If you lift in your hearing, I am using the NIV version of the Bible, but the word for this evening comes to us from the 119th Psalm. And I will be lifting up the 25th, I'm going to read for you the 25th to the 28th verses from the NIV version of the Bible. And it reads as such. If you are able, you will please stand as we honor the word of God. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I recounted my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I pray that you will just dialogue with me as we come to you this evening and lift up the subject, I need a word from God.
Amen.
You ought to turn to somebody and say, I need a word tonight.
Yes.
Not just any word, but a word from God.
Amen.
Father God, we come at this time and we thank you for an opportunity, O God, once again to stand and declare your word, O God. We thank you for this woman emphasis season, O God, and for an opportunity to be in this great sanctuary with these great people of God. So, Lord, as we come into this place, O Lord, we ask once again for you to manifest yourself, O God, in here. We know you are here, O God, because you came with us, O Lord. And we just thank you, O God, for an opportunity to be able to show you how much we love you, O God. So, O Lord, I ask you, O Lord, to once again allow me to sit down, O God, and for you to stand up, O God. I ask, O God, that these your people, O God, do not see me, O God, but they hear a rhema word that will help us run on to see what the end is going to be on this evening, O God. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself strong up in this place, O God. Lord, once again, I ask that you hide me behind your cross and cover me with your blood from the top of my head to the very soles of my feet, O God. Honor this time in you, O God. This is our prayer. We pray it in the matchless, glorious name of none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Let all of God's children say amen.
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 I need a word from God. I don't know about you, but I need a word from God. And as I come to this preaching time and as I pondered the theme for this evening, word, wisdom, worship, and journey. And as I journeyed from word to worship, I understood that the word of God gives us wisdom. Wisdom leads to us understanding who God is. And then once I understand who God is and the nature of God, I can't help but worship God. And then I begin to journey in your theme from worship to word. And I begin to understand that when I begin to worship God, and I bow down before the Lord, and anything that you begin to worship, you want to begin to understand that you are worshiping. And that means that you gain some wisdom there. And in order for me to understand that I am worshiping, I have to go to the Word. So no matter where I started at Word and I went to wisdom and then to worship, or I went from worship to wisdom and to Word, it began and it ended in the Word. We understand that we, no matter what, need the word for God. You see, when words are spoken, we absorb them. I don't care what anybody tells you, words stick to you. And as I begin to think about how words impact people, recently I was actually appalled by the words I heard a mother saying to her children. I am bivocational and I work in a hospital, and I don't know what could be stressful at that time, but as they were coming through, I heard the mother begin to basically speak some words that were so unfavorable to that little child. I was appalled, and I said to one of my coworkers, "I don't understand." And they said to me, "You haven't heard anything." And I begin to pray for that child because I understand that words can hurt us.
Yes.
But I also want you to know that words give us life. Yes. For Revelation 12:11 tells us, we are saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yes. Yes.
We live in a world that is filled with words. Words, definition of words, when I looked it up, a word is something that is written or printed character or a combination of characters representing a spoken word. A word are listed as characters between spaces or between a space and a punctuation mark. Words that are read, words that are spoken. We live in a world full of words, words filling the airways. Too many nonsensical words. Words because people love to talk. Words because people love to hear themselves talk. Oh yes, spoken words that are heard. Words that are strung together to make sentences. Sentences that are strung together to make thoughts. Thoughts which come together and motivate, but often when they motivate, they are nothing but empty and they do not move us to the place that we're supposed to be, because all of us are just speaking words that make no sense. Thoughts are empty because the words used to create them are powerless, and therefore they have no action. But every now and then we understand that when you come into the house of God and you hear the words of a song that we heard even before this preached word, words of a song can soothe us.
Yes.
All you have to do is just ask Saul and he'll tell you something about that.
Yeah.
Words of a prayer are words that can be able to move you and move you to a place where God will hear you and grant your very wish. All you have to do is ask Hannah, because she was able to put the words of her heart together and pray like the woman who was drunk, and God heard her request and granted it. Oh yes, a sermon full of words of God can encourage us, give us a testimony sometimes. You have to have your testimony, because the words of your testimony, like the woman with the issue of blood, will let us know that the touch of God can heal us. But I tell you, sometimes I just need a word. I don't need any kind of word. I don't need a nonsensical word. I need a word that's found in God's word. I need a healing word. I need a soothing word. I need a comforting word. I need a word that will last for always to let me know that everything will come all right. I need a word from God, because God's word is a word that directs us. God's word is a word that sustains us. God's word is a word that brings us hope. I don't know what you come here tonight to hear, but all I know is that I need a word. Anybody here need a word? When you're going through something, you come here tonight, you ought to be able to understand that when we come to church, we are seeking the revelation of God for our lives. We want to know, I hope you want to know, how to turn things around in our lives. We want to know how to deal with the pressures in our lives, the pressures of the world. We want to know how to keep our children on track. We want to know how to deal with those people on the job that seem to mean us no good. We want protection for our lives. We want to know if there is a word from the Lord for our lives today. Lord, is there something here that will comfort me? Lord, is there something here that will encourage me? Is there something that will inspire me? Is there something that will give me wisdom for my life? Wisdom for my children. Wisdom for my children's children's children. Lord, I'm just asking you, is there hope in the house today? You see, when I come to the house of God, I don't need any meaningless superlatives. I don't need any rhetoric. I need the word. The word of God is our secret weapon. I have hidden your word in my heart. Oh, Lord, strengthen me according to your word. Many of us use words to communicate, but they're empty. We need to be encouraged. We need to be motivated. We understand that there is a word, and that word is the word of God. We need an empowering, sustaining, life-giving, sin-stealing, burden-lifting, soul-stirring, yoke-destroying, burden-lifting, mind-regulating word from God. I need something to sustain me, something to comfort me, something to keep me in perfect peace. Lord, I need a word, but not just any word. I need to hear from you, and I need to hear from you right now. In the name of God, I don't know what you need, but we need a word. You see, if time spent in God's word is inspiring to us, and it's really important for our spiritual growth, why aren't more people reading the word of God? According to statistics, less than 1/5 of American Christian believers read scripture daily. You see, Bible reading doesn't make us holy, yet it is the means to holiness. You see, if I want to go to church, if I want to experience the people of God, I just can't stay in my house. I've got to get up and go to the church. I can turn on television, and yes, I can experience something, but there's nothing like being with the people of God. There's nothing wrong with televangelists, but I want to let you know, when you get sick on your hospital bed and you need somebody to come to see you, they will not come to see you. But in the body of Christ, somebody on the usher board ought to come see you. Somebody on the deaconess board ought to come see you. So if I want to go spiritually, I've got to go where God is. And I know that I can find God in the word of God if I meditate upon it. The word of God directs us in our work and our way, and the closer we cleave to the word of God, the more assurance we have of his deliverance, because the word of God is filled with the promises and the hope of God, and every word of God is yes and amen. Yeah. The inspired word of God is like the lines on the highway that keeps us going on the right track. And so I want to let you know, when you're not reading the word of God, it means that you're getting ready to go into somebody's lane and you haven't put your blinkers on. It means that you're riding crooked and you don't know where to go. You think you're driving all right. Have you ever been real sleepy and you're driving on the road and you think you're all right and you begin to swerve? If you don't stay in the word of God, I want to let you know, it will swerve you. And so we come and we look where we can find the word of God. And I looked and I see in this 119th Psalm, part of it, which is the women's emphasis season scripture, this Psalm is the center, the longest Psalm in the book of Psalms. I want to let you know, this particular Psalm, this song in the Bible, is not about love. It's not about joy. It's not about peace, and not specifically about hope. But the longest psalm of the Bible, the very center of God's inspired word, is about the word. When you read this psalm from the beginning to the end, there are several different particular phrases used to let us know that it's talking about the word of God. It refers to it as statutes, precepts, laws, ordinances, testimonies, commandments, promises. However, I want to focus this evening for a short period of time on one particular word that's in this psalm, and that is the actual word itself. And in the original language, it's davar, D-A-B-A-R. This word davar has a dual meaning. It indicates the word spoken, which means God's divine revelation, God's divine word, but it also represents the action that is produced out of the spoken word.
That means that in this word, it be able to be the word itself, it represents action that is done and is spoken. It's saying that when God gives us this kind of word, there's always some action that's going to take place. And there's always some motion, velocity, and advancement when the Lord speaks forth his word. It also means the word which creates, as God created the word. You know, in Genesis 1:1, the prophetic word or the word from the Lord, devar, means to get behind, to drive forward to completion. You see, when the Lord speaks a word to us, a word of demonstration, and carries with it momentum and velocity in order to cause displacement in the natural order. When God speaks a word, when you get a word from the Lord, there is some motion, some velocity, some divine order which shifts in the world. What I'm saying is that it says, in the beginning, God spoke. And when God spoke, things begin to happen. In the beginning, the earth was a formless void. In the beginning, the earth was nothing but chaos. In the beginning, the earth was nothing but boundaries. And if you go into Genesis, it says, but God spoke. And God said, let there be, and there was. God said, let there be, he said, let there be, to be able to be able to separate the earth from the sea, and there was a vault that was there, and it separated. God spoke the word. God put the word into the atmosphere. And when God puts the word into the atmosphere, things begin to shift. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be water, space between the water and the sky, and there was space. God said, let the waters gather together so there be land, and there was land. God said, let the earth be able to multiply and be fruitful, and there was fruitful. God said, let there be creatures in the sea, and there was creatures in the sea. All I'm saying is that when God speaks, something happens. We can talk and nothing happens, but when God speaks, something happens. In the beginning, the earth was chaos. It was void. There was all a whole bunch of mess. But God spoke and order showed up. All I'm saying is, even here tonight, many of us have our lives in mess. We look good right now. We're dressed up in white. But none of us spent the whole day rushing. Got up in the morning, rushing to work. Went to work, rushed through the day. Came home from work and rushed to be able to get here. Everything in your house is still messed up because you done put everything all over the place. Oh, somebody, I know I'm talking to somebody, if not to somebody. And all I'm trying to say is that if you're here tonight, God needs to speak a word into your life. And when God speaks that word into your life, there'll be some movement, and some of those things that are messed up will begin to get into order. Oh, I need a word here tonight. Everybody doesn't need a word, but somebody needs to know that God is getting ready to fix that chaotic mess in your life. Somebody needs to know that God's getting ready to show up and show out. Somebody needs to know that God's getting ready to open up your closet door and fix it so you don't have to shut it anymore. Somebody needs to know he's going to open up your drawers and be able to let you know it's going to be all right, because he's going to give you a word. Be still and know I am God. I need a word. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and he will grant it. Oh, yes, all you need is a word. Not any kind of word, but a Dabar word. A word that moves. A word that fixes. A word that gives you peace. That's the kind of word that you need. And I chose this section of that 119th Psalm because it was in this section that David is said to be able to be writing. And he goes from a time of dying to a time of living. King David, a man after God's own heart, a man loved by God, someone chosen by God. He was a worshiper. He worshiped so much and he worshiped so hard that his clothes fell off. Oh, yes, he was a worship. He was a praise dancer unto the Lord. He loved the Lord, but yet in this part of the psalm, we find out that he is experiencing trouble. God's chosen vessel, the one favored by the Lord, is experiencing difficulties in his life. He is crying out from the melting pot of his trials and troubles. He is a believer, yet he is struggling. Don't let anybody tell you that you can be a believer and not struggle. Don't let anybody tell you that you can be a believer and not be in shame. That's why we get to the house of God and we get so confused, because we don't want to let anybody know that we're going through. But I want to let you know that the minute you said yes to God, Satan got busy. He began to put his arrows on you. And so I'm telling somebody, when you're really going through, that's the time to keep on praising God. When you're really going through, that means your breakthrough is getting ready to come. When you're really going through, that means that Satan's trying to stop you, because he knows where God is bringing you through. And if he can stop you, you won't get there. And so when trouble comes my way, I'm going to praise him like a crazy praise. I'm going to praise him like I lost my mind. I don't care who's sitting next to me. Yourself in the midst of despair. A believer can find himself on the brink of giving up. A believer can find himself overwhelmed with sorrow. A believer needs a word from God. Yes. He says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Revive me, not according to somebody else's, but God, I look like I'm going down, but if you could just revive me, oh, by your word, God, if you revive me by your word, God, I'll get some wisdom, I'll get some understanding, and then I can just worship you. Oh, yes, you see, the word is where we are transformed. The word of God is full of promises of the Lord. I just want to tell you two things. I want to let you know that the word is permanent. And the word is powerful. The word says, your word, God, oh God, is eternal. It means that God's word was there in the beginning and it'll be there in the end. In this ever-changing world, we need to have a foundation. The world, it seems like it's changing so fast, and every time you look at things, it seems that we are, I'm going to call it, in a disposable society. We want disposable plates. Because we don't want to do no dishes, even in the house. We want disposable silverware that looks like silverware. Because we want to throw it away. We like paper products. Disposable society, sometimes we even seem like we're disposing people. Disposable society, everything's changing so fast because we're in a computer age. Your Facebook is changing, the software is changing. Nobody has the same front page on their phone for too long. Nobody has the same Facebook picture for 2 minutes, amen, because they gotta change. Everything is changing. Nothing's ever permanent. And if nothing's ever permanent, what can I believe in? What can I hold on to? What can I say is gonna be all right? Who can I trust? Because you're here today and you're gone tomorrow. If everything is changing, Lord, what shall I do? But I want to let you know the word of God never changes. The word of God you can stand on. The word of God you can believe in. The word of God you can hold on to. The word of God, the bold word of God, is the one that will stay with us. How do we know that the word of God never changes? L, you already heard it said. It said, in the beginning was the Logos. It was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means that in the beginning, before there was anything else, the Word was there. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. The Word of God says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. That means when everything else is gone. Oh, that means when everybody else dies. That means when my friends leave me and they don't talk to me. That means when things shift around, that God will be there no matter what. He is dependable. He is the one I can hold on to. He's the one I can lean into. My God is able. When things are shifting, I'm standing on a strong foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, God's Word. Before there was light of day, the Word of God was there. And after everything is gone, the Word of God will be here. And if you study the 119th Psalm, every part of that Psalm is that alphabet from A to Z. That means that God was there in the beginning, He'll be there in the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the in and the out, the up and the down, whatever you need, when you need it. Eternal, perfect, the Word of God. Oh, yes, the Word of God. The Word of God is something that stays with us, that we can have and that we should be able to memorize and put it into us. But since cell phones, we don't remember anything anymore. We used to remember a number. Dating myself. Growing up, a young man wanted to speak to you. They'd ask you your number. And then you would tell them your number. And they would not even write it down. And they'd be so impressed because they remembered your phone number. My God. We don't remember anything anymore, but we ought to be able to remember the Word of God. To put it into our hearts so that when you need it, it shall be there and you can stand upon it, to have it embedded into our memory. Oh yes, when we have the scripture memorized, when we have the Word of God in the time of trouble or discomfort, whatever you need, that Word will rise up in you. I don't know if you've ever been in an emergency situation. When that happens, you can't remember your name. You don't know your phone number. You don't know who you're related to. But if you're just able to call and say something and be able to say, oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you can say that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If I can say, Lord, have mercy. If anything else, be able to say something in the Word of God. That's all you got to be able to do. Everything will be all right. See, the Word is permanent. You got to hold on to it. It's your present help in the time of trouble. And you need to have that permanent Word in your heart. And not only is that Word permanent, but the Word is powerful. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts going in and it cuts coming out. There's power in the Word of God. There's political power. There's military power. There's financial power. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and there's power in that Word. What I'm trying to tell to you is that the God is so powerful. He came and walked amongst us. I want to let you know that the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us, God, all by God's self. And when God began to come and He was here and He was born of a virgin by the name of Mary, He walked the earth and He began to teach the people. It says that He grew up and He was able to heal the sick. He was able to unstop the deaf ears. He was able to raise the dead. I'm talking about somebody whose name is Jesus. And it says that He was able to go through and do all of these wonderful things. He taught His disciples. He said to His disciples that He was going to leave here. He went, as you know, we just celebrated the fact that He died on the cross just for us. And then he stayed there all day on that Friday. And when he died, they put him in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed there all night, Friday night. I want to let you know, on Saturday, he stayed there all day Saturday morning. He stayed there all day Saturday evening and all Saturday night in that borrowed tomb. We do know that when he was up on the cross, he could have stayed there, but he didn't stay there. He stayed there for you and for me. He could have come down, but he just stayed there. And then when he died, he stayed in that tomb, and they thought that he was dead and he was over, but it says that early on a Sunday morning, his name is Jesus, and he got up with all power in his hands. I want to let you know, it says that he stole the gates of hell. He was able to steal death, and now we have life. I'm just telling you, nothing else. The word of God is permanent. You ought to be able to put it in your heart. But the word of God always speaks about the Son of God, which is Jesus. And I'm just telling you, if you can't remember anything else, I just want you to have one scripture, and that's a smaller scripture, that's Jesus wept. And as we get older, we can't even remember that. If you can't remember that, the only thing I tell you, if you want to have power, that you got to remember in the word of God is that one word, and that word is Jesus. You know why I tell you why it's powerful? Because when you call the name of Jesus, that divine word shifts the atmosphere. When you call on the name of Jesus, things begin to shake. How do I know that? Because when you call on the name of Jesus, demons can't help but to start to tremble. Oh, I get nervous. When you call on the name of Jesus, the angels stand at attention. You come and see what you need. When you call on the name of Jesus, every knee has got to bow, and every tongue has got to confess. Somebody tell me that ain't powerful. There's nothing but power in the name of Jesus. That's a word. That's a word. That's a divine word. That's a word that shifts the atmosphere. That's a word that's powerful. And so if nothing else comes, then I want to let you know when you're going through, call on the name of Jesus. Shift the atmosphere under your feet. Let people know who you belong to. When you call on the name of Jesus, it doesn't have to be loud. You just say, Jesus. Jesus. Lord, help me, Jesus. Don't you know what's in you going to come up out of you? Jesus. Things begin to happen. Jesus. People start acting right. Jesus. Somebody needs to go home and walk through your house and say, Jesus. In the bedroom. Jesus. In the living room. Jesus. In the rec room. Jesus. In the garage. Jesus. And doors all around your house. And I want to let you know something's going to change. That word is permanent. That word is powerful. But thanks be to God, before I take my seat, I want to let you know that word is personal. Oh, help nobody to me, not Jesus. Somebody ought to touch themselves and say, help nobody to me, not Jesus. So when you begin to call on the name of Jesus, knowing that it's going to happen, knowing that he's powerful, you got to be able to have some word in that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my strong tower. The righteous run into and are saved. My help comes from the Lord. I want to let you know the Lord is my rock and my salvation. In the times of trouble, he will hide me in the secret of his tabernacle. He will hide me. He will put me upon a rock and my head shall be lifted up. Round about my enemies. Oh, I just want to let you know that the bar word is not a word that's nonsensical. That the bar word is not a word that people will not be able to stand up to when you speak that word. Oh, my God. When you you speak that word, the earth will shift. When you speak that word and you know it's yours, that's when I can begin my journey. Now I can begin my journey. Why? Because I heard all the word, and even if I only got one word, it's the word beyond every word. And now I got my word, which is Jesus. And now that I got my word, which is Jesus, and I begin to meditate in Jesus, then I get some understanding about who Jesus is. And I get knowledge, and all that I get understanding. And when I get my understanding about the word of God, and I know who God is, then I just worship him. I worship him when I feel like it. I worship him when I don't feel like it. I worship him when I'm crying. I worship him when I'm full of joy, because that's the kind of God I've got. And I just bow down and I worship him because he's worthy to be praised. And if you just worship him, worship him, worship him, all things are going to change. Oh, the downtrodden will be lifted up. The depressed will be in the right mind. People who don't have money will get money. Why? Not because they have more, because whatever they give, God will give back to them. Why? Because they understand the word of God. If you understand the word of God and you worship him, oh, women of God, men of God, what a difference. What a difference will be in our lives. And so I just want to let you know, if nothing else, I got a word. I need a word. I need a word. And even though I got a word,